and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I've entitled tonight's study, Stinking Thinking. Or if you want to make it a little shorter, it could be Stinking Thinking. Stinking Thinking. Now, the reason I say that is because there's really two ways to think. You can either think like the Lord wants you to think, or you can think like you want to think. And when we think the way we want to think, I call that stinking thinking, because every time I start thinking like that, it starts stinking. It's not good. But anyway, let's begin reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says, "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." Father, I come to you tonight, and I just pray, Father, that you'd help us realize and understand. And when you come to indwell us and live in our lives as we call you Lord and we give you our life, Lord, we are not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. So every part of us, including our thinking, needs to be submitted to you. Needs to be passed through the Holy Spirit. So that, Lord, we can think the way you want us to think. We can then do what you call us to do and act the way you want us to act. Lord, it all starts in the mind and the heart. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be totally yours. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your outline, the very first point is the condition of their minds. Paul addresses the people in Ephesus, and he says, "I tell you this, and I'm insisting on it, you must no longer live like the Gentiles do." And then he says how they live. They live in the futility of their thinking. Futility, the word futility, matarati, means that which will never succeed. No matter how often you try to think in a particular way, it's still not going to work. It's kind of like trying to solve a jigsaw puzzle, and you need a nine-letter word that means something, and you think of every nine-letter word you know of, and none of them fit. It's futile. You're just not going to come up with it. In other words, for us spiritually to have a spiritual, clean, usable mind for God, we can't live like we used to live, and we can't think like we used to think. See, a lost person can't come up with the right answer on their own. They just can't. I mean, think about it. It's a continual trying of people to fill themselves up with something, trying to fill the void that's in their life, and they just can't do it. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 22 puts it this way: "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." Isn't that just like people? We think we know a lot, but what we really don't know is our closeness with God is not coming by the knowledge that's in books or by any of those other things, but by our relationship with Him. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. "The fool says in his heart, there's no God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good." In other words, there are a lot of people, I believe, that have never trusted the Lord as their Savior. They probably, I mean, some of them even don't even believe there is a God. But they really think they're good people. And in the context of what the world seems to think is good, they might fit that category. But no one is good, not one, the Scripture says. We are all unrighteous in God's sight. It's futile to believe that you can think like God wants you to think without knowing God. He says not only are they futile, they are darkened in their understanding, is what verse 18 says. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They are darkened. They live in the dark. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to live in the dark. I just would not want that. I like to see light. I like to be able to see where I'm going. I like to be able to see things around me. There were times, I've mentioned this before, growing up on the farm, where terrible storms would come up and we'd have to go down in the storm cellar. And when we got down there, it was so dark. And the only light we had was an old oil lantern. We'd finally get that thing started. Sometimes it would take a while to get that thing going because we weren't always good at making sure the wick was good and all those things. But, man, when you shut the door in there, it was dark. And I wouldn't want to live in a place like that. I know that we have many people here in the community that work underground, and they go into the dark areas of the mine, and the only thing that they have is the flashlight on their helmet. And I wouldn't want to live in the dark. But that's what people are doing when they don't know Jesus. They're living in the dark. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 puts it like this. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. You see, people that don't know Jesus, people that have not come to the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and given their life to him, they look at Jesus as some kind of a crutch or some kind of a communication with other people about certain thing, and you get together and whatever, but they don't see the real light. They can't get it. They can't understand it. They need the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And folks, it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can understand who God really is. So they live in the futility of their minds, and they are darkened in their understanding, the Scripture says. And then it says they are separated. They're separated from the life that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. In other words, they're dead. Futile, darkened, and dead. That doesn't sound very good, does it? And yet that's where most people live. Separated from life. You see, if you're separated from life, you're spiritually dead. And the reason they're spiritually dead is because they have this ignorance in them. The ignorance is not being able to solve a problem. The ignorance is not understanding quantum physics. The ignorance is that they won't turn to the very answer that's set before them, all around them, every single day. The ignorance that's in them that's due to the their hearts, the Scripture says, the hardening of their hearts. They don't know because it's not something you can learn. In other words, you can't pick up a regular book and just start reading it and go, okay, now I know how to get, you know, a lot better in my life. I know how to be awakened. There's a lot of books out there that try to teach those kinds of things. But there's only one book that's alive, the Scripture says. It's active. It's like a double-edged sword, and it cuts all the way down to our soul. And that's the Word of God. They don't know it because it's something you can't just learn. It's not something you can achieve. Like, if I go to church enough, am I going to achieve this? It's something everyone must experience. The word gnosko means you have to know it by experience. In other words, you can know about God, you can know all kinds of things about God, but until you know God and experience Him in your life, you don't really know Him. See, the condition of their minds was thinking. It wasn't where God wants it to be. Not only their minds, but then the condition of their hearts. The second part of verse 18 and the last part of all of verse 19 says, they, having lost all sensitivity, they had given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Why was that? Because of the ignorance that was in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You see, the hardening of their heart was made by a choice. The word is perosis. And it means a stone that is harder than marble. In other words, if you continue to say no to God, if you continue to act like He's not real, if you continue to not want to hear about Him, if you continue to push Him away, it just makes your heart harder and harder and harder and harder. To where it's almost impossible for anybody to even share anything about God to you. But in fact, it makes people mad when you mention God. We've all known people like that. There was a person in my family's life that didn't want to hear about God. He thought He was a good person. And, you know, if God's going to send him to hell, even though he's a good person, then he didn't want to know that God anyway. And I tell you, that's callousness. You know what it's like to get calluses. You know, when you get those calluses all along here because you've been chopping cotton all day long, or you get the calluses on the end of your fingers because you play guitar, or you get calluses on your feet or whatever, it's because you use them all the time, but it just becomes harder and harder and harder to where you can't even feel anything in those areas. Honestly, because I have calluses on my fingers here, I can flip meat in a frying pan, but with my fingers, and it doesn't even burn my fingers. Don't try that at home, by the way. It's a choice. And the choice is that they don't want to hear, and because they don't want to hear, their hearts become harder and harder towards God. What are the symptoms of that? Well, the first symptom is they reject the Word. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear what God's Word says. They don't want to hear what you say God's Word says. They reject God's Word. That's the first thing that Satan puts into somebody's life that doesn't know God, because the Word is truth. And in fact, Jesus says, if you know the truth will what? Set you free. So they reject the Word. And the second symptom is they become less and less compassionate. In other words, they don't have the love of God in their life at all. And any love they might have had in themselves becomes harder and harder to even detect in their lives. No compassion at all. Ultimately, they become very rebellious. In other words, if you say something that's true, they'll automatically disagree with you, and they will rebel against it. Why is that happening? Because of the condition of their heart. It's a choice they made, and they become callous, and they begin then to show the symptoms of a person who is rejecting God, continually rejecting God. Because of that rebellion in their life, then there are some signs that begin to be visible in these people. They become insensitive. They become insensitive to God. They don't want to hear about Him. They don't want to talk about Him. They don't want to go anywhere where anybody's doing that. They don't want to be around people like that. They become insensitive to other people. In other words, what they want is all that really matters. Doesn't matter what anybody else wants. It's just what they want. The Scripture goes on to say, not only do they become hardened in their hearts, they lose all sensitivity, which we just talked about, so as to indulge of every kind of impurity. The word there is sensual. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 talks about it. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has done, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And this is obvious because it's something that's going to happen in every person unless they give their lives to Jesus Christ. The lust of the flesh, the things that you see that you want, and you want to bring them to yourself and gratify your own flesh with those things. The lust of the eyes, looking at things, whatever they might be, and saying, that's what I want. I desire that. The Scripture also talks about the pride of life. In other words, there is so many verses in Scripture that talk about those people who are prideful are definitely going to fall because they're building themselves around themselves. The middle letter in pride is I. And it's all about me. It's all about what I do and what I've done and what I'm going to do. Ultimately, sensuality brings you to a point of no resistance. There's nothing, no reason to resist. I want what I want, and I want it when I want it. And I'm going to do it if I want to do it. So insensitivity to God and people brings on sensuality in people's lives and ultimately total indulgence. In other words, we begin to lie to ourselves and say, you know, I deserve this. I deserve to do anything I want to do. Hey, it's really no big deal. I can do that, and it's not going to hurt anybody else. In fact, everybody's doing it. If you've ever had teenagers, you've heard that. Everybody else is going. How come I can't go? Everybody else is doing that. You know what my granddad used to say, and your parents probably told you the same thing. If everybody was sticking their hand in the fire, would you do it? And of course, the smart aleck kid would go, yeah, I would. And then after they picked themselves up off the floor, yeah. Ultimately, the last portion of that then becomes an insatiable appetite. You just can't get enough. Once you begin filling yourself with all the things that you think is going to make you happy and bring you success or whatever else it is, you just can't get enough. Why? Because it never fills you up. And not only is it like that, it takes more to get the same result. Same way with drugs, alcohol, whatever else. You start with a little and then you get almost immune to it. You need more and you need more and you need more. You just can't fill up the hole that's in your life. Many years ago, I got a little tract that I used to use tracts when I would go out and witness to people, and one of them was called The Hole Story, H-O-L-E. It had a picture of a guy on the front standing there like this, and he had a big old hole in him. You could see right through him. He's standing there like this, and the tract begins by saying, you know, he realized he had a hole there, but he was acting like it wasn't a big deal. But he started thinking, there's got to be something that can fill up that hole. And then he met another guy who didn't have a hole. And he asked the other guy, how did you get your hole filled up? And the other guy says, there's only one thing that can fill the hole in your life, and it's Jesus Christ. He didn't want to believe that. So he began his life of sin, and he began trying to fill it up with all the things that he thought would fill up that hole. And none of them would ever fill it up. A little later on, he again met his friend. And his friend said, how's it going with filling up your hole? He says, it's getting worse. Can't you see my hole's getting bigger? And the other friend said, well, listen, the same thing that would fill it up back then is the same thing that will fill it up now, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the man accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And when he did, the hole healed up in his life. You see, Paul is saying stinking thinking is thinking that anything else in this world is better than Jesus. But the right thinking is knowing that there is nothing in this world that's better than knowing Jesus. Don't walk around promoting a lifestyle that says you're the most important thing and do what you want to do and you don't listen to anybody else that tells you anything different. But we as Christians, and Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, says don't live like that any longer. And in fact, he says in verse 16, and I like how he says this, I tell you, and I insist on it, don't live like this any longer as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. In other words, promote the love of God rather than the love of self. When you begin to think like Jesus wants you to think, when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with His love, then it also promotes fertile ground around you. Because every time we lift up Jesus, He draws people to Himself. We got to get rid of this thinking. in all of our lives. We all have areas that we still allow our own thoughts to supersede and overturn things that we know we ought to do. But when we get to that point, we have a choice. We either say the yes to God and turn it over to Him, or we choose our own way. The second is not the best. It is to follow Him and bring Him glory and honor and righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that it's not an easy thing, and it's not something that just happens because we want it to happen. Lord, it only happens when we continually give control over to You. We begin to live and abide in You, and You abide in us. And You begin to change us from the inside out. You do a remodel. You make everything new. And so, Lord, I pray that we will begin to walk in You constantly, continuously, and allowing You, Father, to do Your work in us, to give us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, so that, Lord, we can honor and lift You up. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. Both of you.